Welcome to Sozo's Podcast, a student ministry of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. We're glad you're here. We meet every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. Check us out on Instagram at SozoYTH.
All right, ladies. So let's get a little closer with each other. This is going to be a more intimate feel. So if you're over here, I want some people to fill in these seats. Come to the edges. Ladies over here, maybe you guys fill in these seats since it's kind of packed over here. We'll wait for the boys to leave before we start talking. This is girl time. Woo! I love girl time. Hey, ladies. I don't know how long I can stay seated, but woo! We will give this a roll. I kind of like to walk whenever I speak, so. Are they gone? Bye. See ya. So, hey, ladies, this is so exciting. I love whenever I get the opportunity to talk to the women. Let me hear you. This is amazing. This is going to be so much fun because we can talk about things a little bit deeper than when we can talk about the boys. Am I right? So, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Alyssa. I'm Ben's wife, and we get the privilege of pastoring Sozo. We get the privilege of caring for you guys. And let me tell you, it is a blessing for us as much, hopefully, as much as it is for you. But if you're new here, or maybe you just need reminded, I want you to know that you belong and that you're family. When you walk through those doors, I want you to know you're accepted and that you are loved. I don't care where you're at in your life, but you are loved when you walk through those doors. Because we exist as a youth group so that we can all realize that God loves you unconditionally. So as you're coming to services, as you're in small groups in worship, we believe that you are going to get to know God on a deeper level than you ever have before. Amen? So we're going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to jump into it, okay? Father God, I thank you for each young lady in this room. Lord, I am believing and I'm speaking it out that chains are going to fall off during this message, that your spirit is going to speak to every individual in here, and that people who need comforted are going to be comforted in Jesus' name, and that people are going to walk out of here differently than when they came in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in week two of the Life and Love series. If you weren't here last week, this series is on sex. Yeah, I just said sex. So we're gonna be talking about some stuff. But to just give you background of what we talked about last week we talked about that sex is great. It's awesome, but it's best, and it's the only time it's best is whenever it's in marriage. That whenever we take it out of context, that we open ourselves up to being hurt, that we open up ourselves up to being broken, and that we're not able to completely fulfill everything that God has for us. So that's where we were coming from last week. And before I jump into what I have for you guys today, I wanted to get a little bit vulnerable with you guys. Is that okay? Is that cool? Okay. So I know that this is an extremely awkward topic. As soon as I said the word sex, people were like this. I saw it all across the room. Everybody started to move and fidget in their seats. It's weird. It's awkward for every single person in here, including myself. But it's okay, because there's a real reason why Ben and I wanted to do this series. And for me personally, the reason why I wanted to do this series is because I wasn't pure in high school. I wasn't doing, you know, the things that I wish that I would have been doing. And so it started for me in 10th grade. In 10th grade is whenever I met this one boy. He was a football player. I was a cheerleader. Love at first sight. And so we were like the perfect couple. Thought I was going to marry him, was head over heels for him, loved him so much. And so unfortunately, I opened up myself to him physically, and I went against my boundaries that I had set before, because in my mind, I had justified, it's okay, we're going to get married, this is going to be fine. And so that's kind of what I told myself. Even if we would have gotten married, it still wouldn't have been okay, but that's kind of what I told myself. So a year and a half later, we break up. Okay, that happens. But then, unfortunately, after that, it was a snowball effect. It didn't just stop with that one relationship, because I had opened myself up to something that was bigger than I was, something that I wasn't able to handle at that time. And relationship after relationship, I gave myself physically over and over again, because I didn't know how to do things any differently then. And really what I was honestly looking for, I was looking for love. I was looking for somebody to care about me, to give me that fulfillment. And so I was constantly seeking it out, relationship after relationship after relationship. And I would like to say that I was done with it after high school, but college got even worse. So there's partying, there's a lot of freedom. And so my first semester of college was really dark for me. I went to party after party after party, and I hooked up with, I can't even tell you how many guys, I don't even know. But let me tell you, it looks good on TV, it looks good in the movies, but I'm gonna tell you about the morning after. The morning after, the darkness that I felt, the emptiness that I felt, and the shame and the guilt that I carried. My friends and I, we would joke and we would laugh and we'd say, oh yeah, we did all these great and crazy things. But on the inside, I was dead. I had nothing. I felt like, why am I even here? And I felt so many dark emotions, but I couldn't handle them because it wasn't something I was equipped for. So instead of dealing with them, I would shove them to the side. And so time after time, I felt that over and over again. And so I'm not here to lecture you today. My job, that's not my heart today. My heart is not to tell you and shove down your throat how you shouldn't have sex before marriage. But I want you to know the other side of it. I want you to know the consequences that I faced, the baggage that I carried for years, the shame that I carried on my shoulders for too long. And it was difficult. But my heart today is I want to protect you. Because each and every single one of you, you are made for something great. You are all powerful women who have an amazing call on your life. And this is a great day to be a woman because let me tell you, there's gonna be a rise in women in the church and we are going to do some amazing things. And I tell you this because whether you're going through this, whether you're in it, whether you're not in it, I want better for you because I don't want you to be held back. I was held back because I was a Christian through all this. I served on my worship team. I wasn't here, but I was on a platform like this. I was up there every week, every day, week in, day out, and I was up there serving. And so there was one part of me that was living one life, and then there was another part of me that was living another life. And that's not to condemn anybody if you're doing that. That's just to tell you that I was confused, and I was lost, and I didn't know how to get out of it. I didn't know what to do. And so instead of me being a light in my school, instead of me doing what I should have been doing as a Christian, I felt like I had no voice. I felt like I didn't have any authority to tell anybody about Jesus because who was I? The hypocrite, the one who was sleeping around but still going to church on the weekends, and I condemned myself. But there is hope for each and every single one of you, if that's you here today, because God is bigger than anything that you've ever done. I'm completely redeemed from everything that I've ever done, and there is only good things for you, but the only way to that is through God. And so this week isn't just about sex. So I know that that's what I was just talking about. But that's because that was my struggle. And so I don't know what your struggle was. But I want you to think in your mind, what is it that is controlling me? Because for me, I was hiding whatever it is that I was doing. I didn't want people to know, even though they knew. I mean, it was high school. Come on, everybody gossips in high school. And so it was around everywhere, but I hid what I did. I didn't talk about it with people at church. I pretended like everything was okay. And it's because I was in shame. So what is it for you that you're hiding? What is it for you that when you're at church, you put on your church face and you pretend like it's okay because you don't want your church friends to know? What is it for you that you hide and you do it in your room? Whatever that is for you, that's the thing that's controlling you. And so maybe for you, maybe it's you spending countless hours scrolling on Instagram, comparing yourself to each and every other person on there, wondering why I don't look like that, why am I not that skinny, why am I not this, why am I not that, and you're constantly trying to be the best. You're trying to look the best, have the best hair, have the best friends, have the best makeup, have the best boyfriend, and make it look like you have this picture-perfect life, but on the inside, you really feel dead. And maybe that goes a step further for you. Maybe even when you come into Sozo, because all you ladies are gorgeous, it's easy that when we come in here, we look at each other and we're like, we size each other up and we're like, because we're intimidated by each other because we're all so beautiful. And so when you come in here, you're comparing yourself. And what people don't know is maybe when you go home, you throw up maybe what you ate at Chick-fil-A. Or maybe you make it look like you eat enough, but you're not really eating enough. And you know that you're not doing that, but you don't want your weight to get too out of control. And maybe on the flip side of that, you don't eat in front of people at all, because you have a stash of food in your room, and so when you go home, because the emotions are too crazy, you go ahead and you shove the food in your mouth because that is how you handle your emotion. But maybe you handle emotion a different way. And maybe it's when nobody's looking, and maybe it's, you know, you have that numb feeling, that feeling of overwhelming emotion, and so it's only whenever you have the razor and you're cutting yourself, whether it's on your wrist, whether it's on your thigh, your toes, and your lips, wherever it is on your stomach. There's been a lot of places I've seen people cut. But that's the only time you feel a release. Or maybe that's the only time you actually feel anything because you're so numbed out that you have nothing left. And so that is the only time that you feel like a human. And maybe there's another thing. Maybe it's the thing that we don't ever talk about as women and we should talk about. It's viewed as a guy problem, but actually statistics show us that it's on the rise in women, unfortunately, but we're going to break that in Jesus' name, is pornography. Many women, many ladies, many teenagers, they go in their room and they struggle with this, and there's no support for women yet because it's a guy problem, but it is as much of a guy problem as it is a girl problem. And I know that a lot of these, as I'm listing these, maybe they're hitting you, maybe what I listed isn't something that you struggle with. But you say to me, and you say, Alyssa, well, it's my body. I'll do what I want. It's not hurting anybody else, so what's the big deal? But the truth is this. I want you to write this down. I want you to remember this. When you are mastered by something, you follow its plan and not God's plan. I'm going to repeat that. When you are mastered by something, you follow its plan and not God's plan. God wants what's best for you. He has amazing things for you. When you struggle with these things, the pain that you feel, that's not what he wants for you. The unfulfillment that you feel, that's not what he wants for you. The struggle that you battle with each day, the secrets that you have to hide, that is not what he wants for you. That is not what he's called you to live on this earth for. He has called you for more. But then the thing that you're struggling with doesn't have your best interest in mind. So maybe it's fun, maybe you like doing it, but it's something that you have to keep in secret. It's something you have to work your schedule around. It's something that you have to figure out what bathroom nobody's in so that you can do whatever it is that you need to do. And so you're constantly worrying about the thing that you are slave to. And so there's this guy named Paul. I'm sure maybe some of you guys have heard of him. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. And in 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 13, it's not going to be on the screen, but if you want to look it up, he's speaking to the church of Corinth. And this particular church, they had a struggle. They didn't know how to live for Christ because their location, they lived near the water. And so they had a constant influx of different people coming to their land, different people coming to their town. And so they were constantly being influenced by people who of different religions, different beliefs, and different backgrounds. And so it wasn't just Christianity that was influencing them, but it was so many other influences. And so he's speaking to them, trying to give them some advice on how to handle these things. And he says this, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So let's break this down. He says that you have the right to do anything. And yeah, that sounds really great. Yes, you do have the right to do anything. But he follows up with, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything is going to make you feel good in the long run. Not everything is going to work for your benefit. And so how I would define something not being our benefit is this, is anything that takes us away from the plan God has for us. Anything that takes us away from the plan God has for us. And it's the things that we feel that we need to keep in secret. But then Paul goes on and he clarifies by repeating the phrase, he says, I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. So maybe in that moment, whenever you do the thing that you do in secret, the thing that you want to do, the temptation that you're fighting, in that moment you're like, yes, I'm doing what I want to be doing. But let me tell you, unfortunately, the thing that you are giving yourself over to eventually becomes your master. You don't know it becomes your master, but whenever you are slowly fighting and trying to, you know, live your own life, but you have to go to the bathroom because you have to throw up or you have to do this over here, it's because it has become your master. So you're not choosing, actually. It has chosen for you, but it is not for your benefit. So Paul is saying, and it goes on, that our body is for the Lord. It's not our body. It was created for him because he ultimately wants what's best for us. And so I want you guys to picture this with me. In the Old Testament, God's presence resided in a temple. It was a temple that had to have specific measurements, that had to be built a certain way, with certain rooms, with certain materials, because it was a depiction of what is in heaven. And it was lined with gold, it was lined with diamonds, jewels, and rubies. And not anybody could just go into this temple. You couldn't just do what you want. You couldn't just go in there at any time of the day. No, there were rules and restrictions because it was holy, it was sacred, and it was viewed as the most valuable thing in the Jewish culture. But when Jesus died on that cross for you, he chose to not reside any longer in that temple, but he chose to reside within you because you are more valuable than diamonds. You are more valuable than gold. You are more valuable than rubies. God said that that thing has nothing on you because you are valuable. And when we choose to do things to our temple, we're not completely showing ourselves the value that God has placed on us. And if God says that you're valuable, then you are valuable. I don't care what the world says. You are valuable. So I want you to ask yourselves, is there anything in my life right now that has a potential to be a master to me, or maybe is currently mastering me? Is there something that I've been keeping in secret, something that I've been hiding? And when you discover the thing that you're doing in secret, the thing that's mastering you, the next step is, okay, well, how do I defeat that master? And there's a phrase that says this: it will never be easier to tell a secret than today. It will never be easier to tell a secret than today. So what that means is the longer you wait to tell that secret, the stronger the hold it has on you. But the quicker that you expose it into the light, the quicker that you're going to be free, the quicker that you're going to be set as a captive that was free, and you are going to be living a life more fulfilled because you're not letting that thing hold you back anymore. In Ephesians 5:13, it says this: whatever the revelation light exposes, it will also correct. And everything that reveals truth is light to the soul. Some of you have something right now that you need to bring into the light. But what do we do from keeping and falling back into those ways, from going back into those mistakes? And so boundaries is the biggest thing. So I don't know what your struggle is, and so I'm just going to ramble off some things that might be helpful. Maybe you need to take all devices out of your room at a certain time of night. Maybe you should never have your devices in your room. Just a thought. Maybe you need to get rid of some apps. Maybe they're too tempting. Maybe you do some things, send some pictures that you shouldn't send. But this one is the one that I endorse the most. This is the best accountability, the best boundary that you will ever have. And I encourage you to find an accountability partner, maybe a couple accountability partners. It's somebody that you trust, that you know won't judge you, somebody that's going to love you, somebody that is more spiritually mature than you, somebody that's not struggling with the same struggle. If they're cutting and you're cutting, they're not going to be able to help you. And finally, it's somebody who's going to give you godly advice. I don't care what the world has some okay advice, but God's advice is what will set you free. And so that's what you need to follow. And so I endorse this so much because I have somebody who was this for me. And some of you might know her. My freshman year in college, after I was doing all the partying, I knew I had to do something different. I was so dead. I felt nothing. I felt horrible all the time. And so I went to this Bible club on campus and I made new friends, which was a big, big turning point for me. But there was one girl in particular that I instantly clicked with, somebody that I felt like I could share anything with. And you might know her, Caitlin Farr, or Caitlin Painter is her maiden name. And so we instantly became best friends. We're still best friends, but she was the person that I started to go to. I opened up with her. I told her everything that was going on, and she loved on me, and she didn't judge me. And I knew that if I went to her, it was okay, that she wasn't going to throw stones at me or call me names or judge me or anything like that. But instead, she helped me to set boundaries. She poured wisdom into me. She poured life into me. And instead of me feeling like she didn't kick me on the ground, but she pulled me up. Because in the Bible, it says that two are better than one, because when one falls down, the other one can pick them up. And that's what happened with us. I was on the ground and she picked me up. So you guys need to find a Caitlin in your life. No matter if you're struggling with the same stuff, it doesn't matter. You always need accountability. And she is my accountability to this day in all areas of my life. And that was my pivot point. That was my turning point. Because she showed me who God was. She showed me God in skin. She showed me that God loves you. He is for you. This is not what he has for you. You can be free from this. And that's the same message I want to tell you today. That whatever it is that you feel like is mastering you, it doesn't have to master you anymore. Today it stops in the name of Jesus. Today is when things come into the light that were in the dark. And you will walk fulfilled in Jesus' name. No more. Mm-mm. So I want you to finish this sentence in your head right now. I would be able to fight this temptation, this secret, a lot better if my small group would help me blank. I want you to figure out what that blank is for you. Because when you guys go in your small groups, that's a perfect place for accountability. There are so many amazing people in here. There are amazing leaders who are more than equipped to handle whatever it is that you might throw at them. They love you, and they only have what's best for you. They are here to help you. They are here to make sure that you get to do whatever it is that God has called you to do. And I know that this can be a scary thing to think about, you know, sharing what God has or what you've been struggling with. But I don't want you to let fear hold you back, because fear is going to hold you from great blessing. Anytime that there's a fear in your way, so if you think about it like this, there's a fence and this is fear. On the other side of that fence is an amazing blessing that you need to just push through, and you need to grab what is on the other side of it, because it's going to push you and it's going to pull you into greatness for your life. Don't let it hold you back. Ladies, I want you to hear me so clearly. God's heart isn't that he's mad at you. His heart isn't that he's angry with you, because his arms are wide open for you. I gotta stand up. His arms are wide open for you. He is waiting for you to run to him. He is waiting for you to expose it. He knows that it's there, but he loves you anyways. He doesn't care. He wants what's best for you. He only wants to help you get out of that pit that you might feel like you're in. He is always for you. So don't feel like you're not condemned. You're not less than. You are enough. And he chose you, and he thinks that you're valuable. And it doesn't matter how many wounds or scars you feel like you have, because he doesn't see that. He only sees you as flawless. He sees you as amazing. And he knows that there's a great thing that's on your life, and that's how he sees you. He sees you as perfect as he sees Jesus. So remind yourself, I am flawless in Jesus' name. I am valuable in Jesus' name. So maybe there's some of you in here that I'm talking about God, and you're like, Alyssa, I'm not even a Christian. Well, I'm excited that you're here. I'm so glad that you are here, because this isn't just, you know, this is for you too. This is for you. God has you here for a specific reason. He called you here because he wanted this message for you, because he wants you to know that he wants you to be a part of his family. He wants you to know that you are already loved by him. You don't already have had to have, you know, given your life to him. He's already loved you even before you even knew who he was. You are loved. So we're going to give everybody the opportunity to give their lives to Christ. So I want everybody to bow their head. And as you're thinking about this, I want you to know that a prayer is not what saves you. A prayer isn't what gets you into heaven. The thing that gets you into heaven is whenever you believe fully with your heart and you speak it out with your mouth that God has come to save you and cleanse you from your sins, and you know that that's for you, and you know that he came to save you. So when you say this prayer, it's not the prayer that does it, it's your heart. It's the faith that you have in your heart. So if you are in here today and you feel that nudging, that maybe I haven't fully given my life to Christ, or maybe I haven't given my life to Christ, or my life to Christ at all, I want you to just go ahead and slip up your hand. I know we don't have the pretty music on in the background. It's still spiritual. But just go ahead and lift up your hand if that's you. Nobody's looking around. This is between you and God. And this is the best decision that you'll ever make. And so I'm going to wait a moment, because I want to make sure that nobody is missed, because God sees each and every one of you. All right. So if everybody can repeat after me. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins. And Jesus, I receive you to be my Lord. I'm a child of God, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want you all to do something for me. I want everybody to get out their phone. I want everybody to get out your phone and hold it up. I want to see it. Okay, perfect. And then I want everybody to pretend like you're doing something on your phone, or maybe actually do something on your phone. Because if you just said that prayer, or maybe you said it and you've never actually, you know, texted this number, I want you to text changed, wait, nope, sozo, to 97,000. I want you to text sozo to 97,000. And the reason why is because your life with Christ doesn't stop here. This is just the beginning. Now you get to go ahead and you get to grow in him and you get to continue to experience his love. And so this is one way to do that. So if you've never done this and you've needed to do it, or if you just want to do it because you want a devotional because it's going to send you a 14-day devotional, I want you to go ahead and do that because it's going to help you to grow and grow and grow. And so I'm excited for you. If that's the first time that you've prayed that prayer, I want you to tell your leader, tell me, tell somebody, because we want to celebrate with you because it is a big deal. So happy birthday, because now's your new birthday. Woo! So are the boys...
We've texted the boys, so we've got a couple minutes till they come over, right? Did they finish praying?
They don't know. Made sure that I went a little bit longer than Ben said his message
great.
Was.
Cody's okay. Not texting me back. We have a couple of minutes. Do you want to do maybe a Q&A, ask a couple questions?
Yeah, if anybody feels comfortable.
You know, they check their phones
Hopefully
and let
I
me
can
know
answer.
What's going on.
Does
anybody have any questions for Alyssa? Anything specifically
anything.
She talked about tonight?
Well, maybe
Something
not
else?
Anything. I don't know. I only know a couple things.
Ooh, I see a hand. Hold on. I got a microphone.
Okay.
It's kind of like a weird question.
Say your name, too. I want to make sure I know people's names.
Hannah. I don't know, like, why I thought of it, but, like, when or how did you tell Ben?
All of my past and all my stuff?
Yeah.
So, let's see here. It's been a while. We've been together for... 4.5 years. So I think I told him in the beginning because I just wanted him to know everything. I didn't hold back, and he shared his stuff with me, and I shared my stuff with him. And I was honest with him about it. I didn't go into detail because that might be weird, and he doesn't need to know that. But I just gave him, like, a general gist of, like, what had happened. I didn't go into anything that would break his heart or hurt him because I wanted to protect him, but I also wanted him to know what I was dealing with. And so, you know, I wasn't completely healed of everything whenever Ben and I got together. It's been a journey, and it's been a process, and things had kind of came up as we were getting closer to marriage and everything, but yeah, does that answer the question a little bit? Yeah, so always make sure that you protect their heart, but also just...